Thank you for joining me today. I'm excited about the fact that we're living in a world that's constantly changing and the Bible is always the same. We live in a world that has ups and downs, and Jesus Christ, he's the rock, he's the foundation. And so no matter what is taking place in the world around us, isn't it wonderful when we can go to the Bible, to God's Word, and we can find a verse or a passage that says, here's how we can anchor our life, our future, our eternal salvation is based on God's eternal word. And the reason I say that is because, you see, really, we live in a time when a lot of times I say, that just doesn't seem right. Matter of fact, it's like putting a square peg in a round hole. It just doesn't work. But the truth is, when I go to the Bible, I find a passage or two or even more than that that states the very conditions that we're living under. I like to look at the end of the story because the end of the story tells us the principle by which we can live today. And such is true today. Yeah, a lot of times, I'm sure many of you are saying, that just doesn't seem right. Matter of fact, I know some people that have given up watching the news altogether because every time they see a news story, it's always a negative spin. It's always crashing the values that made America great. Or it's crashing the values that we grew up, or it's crashing the values that we hold right now. And so we say, it just doesn't seem right. But look at the passage there, Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. It's part of the parables of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And it's so interesting that I want to share some of that with you because in this parable, it's the famous one of the wheat and the tares. And so the passage began by saying that the Lord put another parable unto them. And he says, it's likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares. And of course, the workers, they're upset because in the situation that we're talking of, it said, okay, what took place when the tares were sown? And there's a wonderful answer. That answer is going to give you comfort today. Matter of fact, this passage is so important that I think if you can put this on your mirror or you can put this at your table or on your desk, there's going to be so many times that you're going to watch a news story and you're going to say, wow, this doesn't seem right, but I'm so glad that we have the Bible to explain what it is. Because here's what it said, but while men slept, his enemy came, there's an enemy, sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, brought forth fruit, then appeared tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in the field? But where then are these tares? He says, the enemy hath done it. So now the servants say, well, let's go and let's pull it up. He says, no, don't do that, lest you also uproot the wheat with the tares. And then he gives the solution. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into my barn. A great separation is going to come. There's going to be a great judgment to come, but there's going to be a time when the tares and the wheat come up together. Now, let's look at this in a little bit more detail. Here's one of the difficult things about it. Tares look identical to wheat. Yeah, there's a period of time when you can't tell the difference between the tares and the wheat. And that might be true in some of the things, some of the stories that we're going to talk about today. At the beginning, they might look the same. But as you get closer to harvest time, that's when there's a difference. You can see that there's fruit, there's a head in the wheat. But the tares, nope, they look like it at the beginning, but there was a great difference. And then I think it's also fun for us to look at this. The sower, that's the Son of Man. There's nothing wrong with the sower, that's Jesus Christ. He's done it right. And so next we see the field, that's the world. There's the good seed, and these are actually the children of the kingdom. They're individuals that are saved. But it talks also about the children of the wicked one. That's the tares. And then the enemy. You know what? The enemy is the devil. Sometimes if we're not careful, we begin to fight each other. The devil loves it when he can get us fighting each other. But the truth is, the enemy is the devil. And then it goes on to talk about this. In terms of these tares, okay, the tares, see, they were inserted while someone slept. Now, Jesus never slumbers or sleeps, so it's not his fault. But chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 25, while men slept, the wicked one came in. And I'm afraid that we have slept. I'm afraid that what took place, while we weren't paying attention, while we didn't have our priorities exactly right, guess what? The devil came in and put tares. He put false hope. He put false seed, bad seed into the field. And now we have both of them growing up together. And there's Satan. He's the deceiver. He's the liar. And he's the one that's done this devilish work that's so bad. Number two, the devil can't change the wheat. Okay? He can only affect the sun, the seeds of the tares. And so the wheat and the tares are going to develop until the end of the age. And like we mentioned, we said that they look alike at the beginning, but boy, there's a big difference. And so when the tares grow, more and more evil, as the wheat grows, more and more fruit. The contrast, you see, it's not so obvious at the beginning, but it's really obvious at the end. You see, isn't this important to know? Because otherwise I get pretty discouraged when I see, wow, I thought they were so good, and now look, they're departing. Look at this, it looks so good, now it's departing. Every area, society, education, medicine, technology, we see this really in all these things, but it continues because you see, the tares, they're going to be gathered together in bundles. The growth of the evil in this world is more and more as time goes on, but it's going to be bundled together. And these things, whether it's the New Age movement, whether it's Mormonism, whether it's the children of the Antichrist, whether it's woke, right now, woke and anti-Israel is so big. You see, this didn't catch God by surprise. It's also interesting because there's a separation. Let both grow together until the harvest. And so there's going to be a time that God's going to come back. And when he does, he's going to separate the wheat and the tares. My friend, that separation is going to be painful because, unfortunately, the tares can lead some people away. Those who haven't made a decision concerning Christ, they can be easily led away by this. But God's going to have a judgment. He'll gather the wheat into the barn for preservation. He'll have the tares for destruction. You know, there's even another parable that speaks of this, and it's important because you see, as we see apostasy coming, it indicates this, that apostasy is going to be more rampant at the end of the church age than it was at the beginning. This is what the message of the Laodicean churches in Revelation chapter 3. Throughout the Bible, we find this theme, and really, I've just enjoyed seeing that God has this all thought out ahead of time. There's another part of a parable, Matthew 13, 47 through 49. It talks about a net, and in there, it talks about good fish and bad fish. Can't change the nature of the fish, but he said there's going to be a time when it's going to be separated. We can spend another whole few minutes just on that, but it's the same message, the same idea, that there's going to be a separation. God is going to separate apostasy from truth. He's going to separate the wheat from the tares. He's going to separate the edible fish, the good fish, from those that are inedible. So with that in mind, what do we see that's on the horizon right now that might be important for us to consider? Well, here's a couple things that come to my mind. And those relate to the southern border. I don't know about you, but I watch what's taking place, and I almost shudder because I say, can this really be happening? I have friends that are trying to escape political situations in a number of countries. I'm not even going to mention the countries because it's so sensitive. But there's unruly dictators. There's crimes of atrocity being committed. And whether it's in Africa or Asia or in the Middle East, every area has these catastrophes occurring. And some of these people are actually trying to escape. They can't do it. But we can have people raging rampant across the southern border. This video has been played on news. I found it interesting because while some news outlets played it several times, some didn't play it at all, and one gave 30 seconds to the story. Now, the video clip's not very long, but I think it is important. I want you to watch it, and then I'll tell you part of my concern and part of why I relate this to our story in Matthew chapter 13. It's hard to watch that, isn't it? It's hard to watch it because they're invading a country. I don't know really of anyone who thought it would ever come to this, but it has. It's enough to see that we have millions of people coming across the border. It's enough to know that already enough illegal immigrants have come in that it's a bigger group of people than 36 of the 50 states. It's enough to know that they've ruined towns in Texas, their education system, their health system. I have a compassion for their souls, but now we know that there are terrorists coming. We see the atrocities that they're committing, not just in Texas, but all over the country. And we still have people justifying them coming. That's horrible, isn't it? And I see that, and then I look at this video clip, and this guy actually says, okay, I'm coming across, I'm gonna take property, this is my right. Does an illegal citizen, does an illegal terrorist coming across the border, does he have rights? Well, he thinks he does. Watch this video clip.
Mi gente, he pensado invadir una casa en United States, ya que me enteré que existe una ley que dice que si una casa no está habitada, podemos expropiarla. Capichi, muchachos, aquí en United States también se aplica la de invasión de terreno. Y creo que ese será mi próximo negocio. Invadir casas abandonadas, ya que me he buscado unos códigos con mis amigos africanos. Y me dijeron que ya llevan como 7 casas expropiadas. Y como dice el dicho, papi, hay que buscar la vuelta. Y la vuelta ahorita mismo es invadir casas. Ya que nos encontramos en situación de calle y es la única manera que tenemos para no vivir en la calle y no ser una carga pública. Capichi, la ley dice que las casas abandonadas, deterioradas y que esté en mal estado, podemos llegar y repararlas, vivir en ella y si podemos venderla, hasta pedir créditos con ella. ¿Qué dicen ustedes?
I don't know about you, but I look at the last two video clips and it makes a sick feeling in my stomach. I'm so glad to know that the Bible said in the last days, the evil one would come and he would sow tares. This is a tare. A terrorist, but also a tare. The idea of people breaking down a gate to break into a country, this is unheard of. You see, while we slept, while we thought it didn't matter, I have friends who said, well, it's no big deal that these people are pouring across the border. I feel sorry for them. Well, we've done that now for several years. And now there's 8 or 9 or 10 or 15 million. There's lots of different counts. But here's what I do know, that drugs are flowing across the border. Sex trafficking is there. Illegal people are crossing into the country. Terrorists are crossing into the country. And now they're seizing property. Wait a minute. Think about that. Seizing property. There's something that's just not quite right about that. How can it be happening? How could it change so quickly? We slumbered. Spiritually, we slumbered. Politically, we slumbered. As a country, we thought that our country would never fall apart, but it has. And there's going to be a separation, but it's going to be at the judgment of God. I really think we're close to the judgment of God called the tribulation. And that's why I plead with you today to come to Christ. I plead with you today to make sure your family knows the Lord. You see, these people are soon going to be voting. Yeah, everything is in motion to make it so that they vote. And they can control a number of states. Wow, if I didn't know that the Bible said in the last days, the tares are going to grow rapidly. But don't worry, judgment's coming. And God will right the situation. But in the meantime, we're paying a tremendous price. You know, I look at this and here's the story that 320,000 illegal immigrants have been brought into this country. 320,000. I mean, this is incredible. In other words, we're paying for their flights. We pay them a bonus to come across the border. I know a lot of people that would love to have $5,000 or $10,000. I know a lot of good families that would love to have an education given to them or health care given to them. We don't have it, but we're doing it to illegals. Wow. The enemy. The enemy is the devil. The enemy is the woke society that we're living in. My friends, stand fast, because God's judgment is going to separate the tares from the wheat. And then in this story, there's another thing that's amazing to me. Can you imagine that they're going to try to take personal property of Mr. Trump? Whether you like him or not, that's almost immaterial to this. Why should they have access to his property? Because let me tell you this. If this man can say, if you go to the store, if you leave your house to go to the store, if you leave your house to go to church, if you leave your house for a vacation and they come and settle, he says that house is his. That's never how it's been in America before, and it shouldn't be now. And now we can have ridiculous penalties put on us. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they try to begin taxing churches, because they can make a tax on a church so high that we couldn't afford it. They can make, you know, people say, well, I own my house. Yeah. Watch your taxes. They'll find a way to evict you. Because if they can steal, I'm using the word steal, if they can steal the property from this man just because he has several billion dollars, they can take our property as well. You see, we're living in a day and a time, and I'm so happy to tell you that God is aware of the situation. It's going to get really dark, but that says judgment's coming, and God's judgment will prevail. Well, not just the southern border, but there's other areas of wokeness. There's other areas, and say it just doesn't seem right. This is a clip I'm going to play. I played it before. I'm going to play it again because I think the message is so important. I could have chosen any one of 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 woke religious videos that I have. But this one in particular, I want to show. And so watch. And again, you're going to say, this just doesn't seem right. Well, it's not right. You see, the enemy's coming and sown tares.
What if God worships me? Can you say that with me? What if God worships me? A God who worships me is quite the statement. I know, but follow me. Now I get it. We've started to worship a very big heteronormative white Jesus that we constantly thank for standing between us and a mean God. But really, really, who, what, when, and why? Worship has become so God-centered that it risks the subjective colliding of our own things, our biases, etc. What if worship is us on the mountain of transfiguration? This space where God spoke that God was well pleased. This place where God spoke about God's Son in such a way that the light shone on him and God looked and said, wow. What if worship is Genesis 3 and 8 that says, when God says, where are you? And who told you that you were naked? Who told you that there was a flaw in your beauty? The God who meets us and keeps confirming that who we are is good enough. What if that's worship?
We declare that you are a God that worships us. That's how much you love us. That's how much you desire us. That's how much you are for us. But when we step into your presence, we come with our full selves, fully naked and unclothed, and there is no shame, because what you have created since the very beginning, you declare good, and it is still good.
Well, it's shocking, isn't it? I think these people have forgotten that Satan was cast out of heaven because he wanted worship that belonged to God. And so, since when does the creation tell the creator to worship it? Does a mountain, does a tree, Does an ocean tell God to worship it because it's flowing, because it's growing? How ridiculous. Let me tell you this. A God who would worship us is no God at all because we're not righteous. The Bible says none are righteous, no, not one. Do you see how they scramble together passages, taking them out of context? My friend, let me tell you this. There's something that's not right about this. And the tares are growing with the wheat. Some of these churches are the fastest growing churches. It's almost like, okay, this is exciting. This is a new idea. The first man criticized the fact that it seemed like worship was God-centered. And he said it was wrong. No, worship, by definition, is God-centered. I'm afraid today we've got the idea that we come, worship with us. Look, the point of worship is to exalt God. It's not to exalt us. I know so many of the songs we sing at so-called worship service have to do with us. A real song of worship ought to do with God and who He is, His nature. Transfiguration. Let me tell you this. His interpretive transfiguration is absolutely horrible. Because when Peter tried to elevate even the others with him, said, okay, let's build an altar, one for this person, one for that. All of a sudden, transfiguration was over. Why? Because no one is on the same level as Jesus Christ. There's something not right about this. The tares are growing. And some of these churches are the fastest growing churches. God did not say, where are you, so that He could worship us after the sin. How ridiculous an interpretation is that? No, He asked, where are you? Because He wanted to save us. He wanted to redeem us. He wanted to clothe us so that we could have fellowship restored. But to clothe us, it required the death of a lamb. You see, the story is completely wrong. But people are going by the hundreds to these places to worship. Wow. Something's not right. God's going to come. He's going to separate the wheat from the tares. I hope you're among the wheat and not the tares. Have you ever seen a preacher get so excited about his message that he forgets the clock? Well, that was me. That was me today as we started the little series on, that's just not right. I'm so excited about this passage in Matthew chapter 13, and I've got so many examples of it that I went longer than I normally do for a Saturday broadcast, and so we're going to break it right here. And we'll finish it next week. But I think this principle is so important, so I want to continue to say, are you ready? Because I think Matthew 13, the story of the wheat and the tares, is the critical story for right now. We're watching the wheat and the tares grow up. I've got other examples, and I want you to join me for those. Part of those examples had to do with everything from medicine. It has to do with society in general. Wow. It has to do with Israel and the pressure that the United States is putting on Israel right now. Matter of fact, I'm going to make an appeal to you to stand with Israel. We've even had a cup printed that way. And sometimes I get in trouble. People say, are you an American or are you Israeli? Well, I'm an American, but I love Israel. And I know many people in Israel, and they're Israelis, and they love America. Because up until now, we've stood with Israel. And the Bible says this, I will bless them that bless Israel and curse him that curses thee, Genesis 12:3. My friend, I believe that there's a judgment day coming. It'll be a judgment separating the wheat and the tares. It's going to be a blessing for those that have sided with Israel. And it's going to be a curse for those that sided against Israel. We look forward to having you join me next week as we finish this message. But thank you for watching today.